Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
We don't want to waste your time, so we won't. Vuse is vapor done right. Simple, sleek, stylish. Because when you find a vape that goes with everything, everything just clicks. Find Vuse at your local convenience store down the block.
Underage sale prohibited. Vuse is a vapor product. Website restricted to age 21 plus tobacco consumers. Copyright 2026 RJRVC.
I'm Dan Evans and this is Drop Shot.
The concern over the tournament finishing on time has led to matches now being played off-site over at Trent University. The backlog of games is too great to get them all finished here. The worst thing about this is that no one can watch the matches, neither public nor media. The only way to keep up with the games is online, where one watches a real-time typed service of scores. No live feed, no audio, nothing. We don't even know if players will come back here to do press. Needless to say, I am not blessed for company in the media room today. This is going to be a long, long day. But I will make use of my time and record an interview I've been meaning to do for ages.
My name is Anthony Aduhini. I live in Beeston in Nottingham. And I'm a photographer, and most of my work is photographing tennis.
We met here last year, slightly different occasion. There was sunshine.
A bit warmer.
It's so different, and it's a little bit frustrating. At the moment, we're having to go down to watch players play indoors. Yeah. Is that a problem for you, photographing, being indoors? Is it a bit more temperamental than being out in the lovely sunshine?
Well, when you're indoors, the quality of the light is not as good as it is outdoors. So it means you've got to photograph differently with some of the settings on your camera. And I'd rather just be outdoors doing photographs in natural light because it's much easier.
It's quite an intense day, even though nothing much is happening here. It's pretty full on, isn't it?
It's a long day because I get here about 9 o'clock. Just get myself ready. I might have some other work to do for some other events, and I want to be ready in my spot to go down on court when the games start. But of course, when it's indoors, things are delayed, and you're sitting around a bit, and that can tire you out. If you're doing something all day, you seem to be able to get through it really easily. Well, most of my work is in the junior circuit, because what I would call at the very grassroots of tennis, yeah? Because a lot of those players are never going to make it onto the world stage. But to have great photographs of themselves in action is something they love and their parents love. So that's where I focus most of my work. And what's really good about that is I've been doing that for about 12 years. And some of the younger players that are coming through now are guys I photographed when they were 8, 9, 10 years old. So it's great to see them progress as they have done.
Well, and also, I suppose if you've been documenting them since the year dot, as it were, you have an incredible catalogue. I mean, I suppose you can see them change year by year if you've been photographing them.
Yeah, well, I first photographed Jack Draper, I think it was in 2009. Not sure how old he was then. It might be 2009, maybe 2011, I can't remember. And he was just a tiny little boy then. But you could see he was a good player. And now I photographed him every single year since then. And I have a collection of photographs that I put on a timeline of him growing up from being quite small to being quite a big lad now at 6'2". So,
who else have you photographed?
Well, I remember back in about 2008, there was an ITF here and Carl Edmund was playing. And it was his first ITF. And he went on to win that. Oh, no, sorry, it was his second ITF, which he went on to win. And within a year, he was in the top 25 in the world juniors. And you know, since then, he's progressed significantly and he's been, you know, become a very, very good player. So it's photographing him has been a lot of fun. And he's a really, really good guy as well. So definitely worth... it's definitely nice actually knowing him. So that's good.
Well, I'm just going to see if I can get them to be a little quieter because they're okay. Very noisy there.
Okay. I went to the Orange Bowl in Miami and he was training there with Andy Murray. And I was just standing in the stand watching him. And he saw me. And during the middle of his training block, he came over to say hi. And I was so impressed that he would take that time to come out and say, hi, Anthony, how you doing, everything else, yeah? So I've always been very, very impressed with him. And whenever I do see him, He says hi to me. I'm saying he's a busy guy. But one of the most amazing things he did, because I photographed lots of junior tennis, as I said, a mother said to me that her two boys loved Carl Edmund. I said, okay, let me see what I can do. Yeah, so I rang and said, Carl, when you're in Nottingham, if you have some time, can you come meet these two young kids? They're sort of about 8 and 9 years old. He said, if I get time, I will do. Then we had a rain break. Yeah, so I called him, said, can you come and see these two boys? He said, yeah. He came down, he took them over to the bubble, had a hit with them, chatted to them, had some photographs of them. And I was so, so impressed that he would take us out. Because they're difficult, busy times. Yeah, it's not easy to meet the public as well. But he took the time to do that, and that really, really impressed me. So I've got a lot of time for Carl Edmund.
Jay Clark.
Oh, yes, Jay.
I'd love to know a little bit more about Jay and what you've done over the years.
I think I first met Jay at a Grade 4 tournament in Huddersfield. Yeah? He's just a very young boy, yeah? And I just got to, you know, I talked to whoever I photograph, whoever I speak to, I speak to everybody. So I was chatting to his mum and dad and always trying to send him a photograph or two. And I just got to know Jay through just photographing him and chatting to him and just always encouraging him and say, you know, good luck, good luck. And the times have been quite hard for them. The dad's not so well. And the daughter had some, you know, struggled a bit when she was playing because she was a good player as well. Curtis, not as good as his brother and sister, but still, you know, a reasonable player, was always you know, trying really hard to do well. And I think he got some ITF points. I'm not sure exactly. But Jay just, you could tell when you spoke to him and you observed him, his desire was so great, you know, that it didn't surprise me he started to do really well. And sometimes when things are difficult, you fight harder. And he's a guy that fought really hard. And one thing I really enjoyed doing, now he's quite a big lad, Jay, now. I've got a photograph of him from when he was, again, quite young, and I sent it to him on Facebook. And I just put on it, who is this fat little boy? Hmm? Because when he was quite chubby and everything else. But and that's the relationship we've had. It's all, he wasn't offended by it. And it was all good fun, yeah. And whenever he's here playing, I always take photographs of him. Sometimes his mum and dad might buy something for me, but not always, but that doesn't matter. But he's a really nice lad as well. And sometimes I think when you're in professional sport, sometimes some people, it goes to their head and they're not quite so pleasant as they were when they were younger, as it were. But his true character shows through. He's a really, really good guy.
Did you notice with somebody like Jay, because I guess as a photographer, you're there to take the photos, but at that sort of age, are you also taking notice of the way they play?
One thing I think when I'm watching the youngsters play, I like to watch how they carry themselves on court. Because so many times I've seen youngsters, the first ball goes past them and their shoulders drop and the head goes down. And they haven't got that inner steel that you need to be a professional sportsman. They haven't got that, I don't care who you are, I'm coming back for you. I could be 5 love down, I'm still coming after you. And Jay's always been that way, yeah? Always fought very hard. Even when things have been difficult, yeah? Sometimes if you get beat up on the court, that's probably a good thing to happen to you because you learn from that. And Jay's been beat up many times on the court, but he's learned from it. And now we begin to see the results of his continued hard work. And also, he's always been a very honest player as well. I see a lot of goings on court where the ball might not be quite as far out as the opponent might hope, and they're calling it. That happens quite a lot, but I've never seen Jay do that. So he clearly is an honest player, and you know, the cream comes to the top eventually, and I think that's the case with him.
It's quite an extraordinary thing, isn't it, to have a tennis family like this that are doing things in spite of, because I don't think it's very easy to have a family-run tennis business, really.
No. Well, I think as well, when you've got your family involved, your family are fighting for you. Mm? When you have other people involved outside, they have other interests and other motives. But I know from the Clark family, they're all in it together. Yeah, to get Jay as far as he possibly can go. Yeah, I know his sister has coached him for a long time, and his brother coaches him. His mum and dad are very, very supportive, and that can only help. Tennis can be a lonely game. If you're out on in a challenger circuit or the what's the other one? One below that.
The futures
tournament. Yeah, it can be a lonely place because you're traveling to all different places around the world. There's three people watching you, and to get through that is hard work. But Jay now, he's doing challenges. I think he's up to about 150 in the world, which is great. It's unbelievable. And he's got a story to tell of someone who's had to fight very, very hard. You know, others, it's easier for them. They got, for instance, the financial backing. Tennis is a very, very expensive game. And it's difficult when you know, your parents aren't multi-millionaires or earning, you know, huge salaries to actually pay for tennis. But despite that, he's fought, and now he's beginning to, you know, come through. If he can get into the top 100 this year, that'd be fantastic, and I'd be very happy for him. Who knows where he might go from there?
I guess in a strange way, satisfying for you to see a little kid from a young age develop.
Just recently now, we have Harriet Dart, we have Katie Swan, Katie Bolter. Who won yesterday and today against Tomek? Ryan Peniston, yeah. Carl Edmund, Jay Clark. I've watched all these guys play when they were just tiny children. And to see them on the stage now is brilliant. And what's really nice for me is because when they were really young, I would talk to them. I wish them good luck in this game, bad luck in that game. Just always say hi to them, see how they're doing, always encourage them. And then if they've done well somewhere, I send them a note on Facebook. Well played. Great. Good luck. Keep going. And so it's nice when they see me, they respond very positively to them, because I was there when they were nobody. You know what I mean? It's nice. It's easy to say, well done to Roger Federer, but then what's he going to say to me? Nothing, because, you know what I mean? It's one of those things.
How rude of Roger.
Unbelievable. But like, with those guys, that's the best part about my job. Photographing the youngsters who were like 8, 9, 10 when I first saw them, playing on the big stage, as it were. So, and I'm hoping with someone like Jack Draper to continue my timeline until he wins a major tournament, yeah? Because that'd be great. And to have him from 9 or 10 years old all the way through to lifting a trophy, that's something very special. So,
you do these incredible montage photos from a young age all the way through. Yeah. Has Jay got one of those?
Jay, no, he hasn't, because Jay played a lot of juniors around a few years ago, but then because he got a lot better, he was always travelling. So unfortunately, I didn't get one of him all the way through. I've got lots of different photographs of him, but I'm missing some years. But with Jack Draper, I have every single year, yeah, which is really good. See, a lot of them, once the players start to get quite good, they don't come to the junior. They don't do junior events, yeah. Sometimes I will travel. Like, I've travelled to London to photograph Jack Draper before, because I want to continue the sequence. Unfortunately, this year he got a wild card into his main draw here, which has enabled me to get my 2019 photo. Where I might have to go next year, who knows? But I would travel. Yeah, if he was in France somewhere and I needed to get the 2020 picture, I would go to get that picture, because I think it'd be worth it.
And so, do you think there's any way we can do one for Jay? How many years are you missing? I guess, you know, even before and after. I love the way you do them, because you have them all playing shots through one panoramic photo.
Sure. I'm pretty sure that there must be photographs out there of Jay for the years I haven't done. He's trying to find those and see if the photographer would release the photograph to me to actually, because they have the copyright and I can't be using their images without their permission.
Well, I'm just trying to, I don't know if you can see, I'm trying to steer you into a sale here. You're meant to say, I can come up with something here that everybody's going to want. So you need to get to your computer and see what you can make up for Jay, and we'll speak about it.
Now you mentioned that. When I hear the word sale, I'm always very keen to progress, yeah? And I'm sure if I worked hard enough, I could find the photographs that I need, because I've got lots of him.
So. Get working. I would ask you how much they cost, but that's just so rude. So we'll keep money out of the equation.
They are so cheap, anyone would want to buy one.
That's going to be on your tombstone, isn't it?
Yes, so cheap, yeah. But people know, but perhaps not quite so cheap as some people would like. But, I've got three children to feed at home.
I'm with you. Look. How many photos have you got of me? Can't we do one from when I was very small?
I only met you last year. I'd struggle. Hmm? Unless you've got them in your archives, it could be a big struggle. But,
okay. All right. Well, look, you are like a permanent fixture here. It's funny, we were just chatting away and John popped his head round and he said, that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, I've been coming to the tennis here since I first came into the tennis centre about 1997 when I was at university here. And then I came back again and I said, can I do some photographs? Because I like to be a sports photographer. And I produced an image of a former player called Josh Ward-Hibbert, who used to play quite a bit. And I showed his mum the picture, and in a heartbeat, she bought it. And that was 12 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since.
Well, let's hope we get a little bit better weather coming in, and maybe we can get out of the indoor courts and onto the grass. I'm not that hopeful, but you never know.
It would be nice to go outside and to photograph outside, definitely, yeah. Indoors is okay, but nothing, it's nothing like grass tennis.
Yeah, you want a bit of green in your shots.
Very much so. And a few shadows as well from the sun. So it's all good.
Anthony, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you ever so much for chatting to us on Drop Shot.
The pleasure's all mine.
With few players on site, it is frustrating to sit here without much to do. Last year, I chatted with players when I was writing about the wonder of pre-Wimbledon tournaments, and I've started going through my phone interviews. It's the best way of taking notes if you don't have shorthand in your skill set, and I don't. And my normal writing becomes doctorial when I'm in a hurry, and even I struggle to decipher it. But it's incredible to listen back to the recordings, even if they are a little poor in quality. So here's a selection of highlights from what I will call the phone sessions. I have to call it something like a band that discovers old recordings that didn't see the light of day. Or how about the phone zone? Or phone a friend? Or phone-tastic? Phone-tasia? Or call it what you want. But what a difference a year makes, as some of these players who I talked to back then are too big to play here this year. But players love this tournament, and especially the showpiece centre court, as Ash Barty explains.
Oh, it's a gorgeous court, it really is. I have great memories here in Nottingham. I love coming back every year. I have relatives that don't live far away as well, which is always nice to see them. But I remember coming here when I was 16 and playing it when it was a 50. So it's grown so much since then. I feel like I've grown as a player. But it's always nice to start my grass court season here.
And what do you think about the atmosphere of the tournament here? As you say, you've been coming here for years. This is my first time. I love that sort of interaction that there is between the players and the crowds.
Yeah, it's a special tournament in the sense that it's a nice kind of quiet town. But then when you're in the court, it's such a beautiful centre court that you feel like the crowd's right there with you. And, you know, typically this tournament does a very good job of putting bums on seats and getting people out here. And I think Nottingham inner city itself loves sport, with Trent Bridge just down the road. I know that, you know, when we watch the cricket on telly, it's always a full crowd. So I think it's very much a very sporting, they love their sport here in Nottingham.
She also discussed her heritage and trying to get kids playing tennis and her passion for the sport.
Yeah, I'm a very proud Indigenous woman, and especially proud to be the ambassador for Indigenous tennis in Australia. I think it's something that's very close to my heart, trying to get more kids playing tennis. And, you know, I think that they can, when you play tennis, it's a different happiness. It's a different passion. I found that passion when I was very young, but I think tennis is a sport that you can play for life, and you can pick it up very late, you can play it and start playing very early. I think it's important for me to try and spread the word as much as I can around Australia for Indigenous sport, but also around the world where, you know, it's not just Indigenous kids that want to start playing tennis. I think kids all over the world can have the opportunity, hopefully, to play and learn and enjoy this great game that we have.
Nottingham provides an opportunity for players to venture onto a surface that they rarely come into contact with outside the British summer. 12 months ago, Naomi Osaka seemed to be still finding herself as a player and definitely had trust issues with grass as a surface, even though when I spoke to her, she had just won a match on it. But also, I wanted to ask her what she tried to change about her approach to tennis.
I guess just trying to be more mentally tough. I'm not really sure if last year I would have been able to win this match from being a set down, so I'm really happy about that. I mean, obviously I didn't lose, so that changes my impression a little bit, but I still feel like there's a lot I can do better, and that's one of the main things I want to do is just keep improving. But I feel for the first match, I did pretty well. So.
Is it quite a turnaround for you to change surfaces and it takes a while to get adjusted to the grass?
Well, yeah, I think so. For me, I don't really have much experience on grass. Like, growing up, I've never played on it or anything. So going from clay to grass, it was a little bit of a kind of surprising thing. But yeah, I'm kind of used to it.
And do you like these smaller tournaments and get that closeness with the crowd? Do you like the atmosphere of them?
Well, I mean, I like just playing any tournament. For me, I think matches are really important because the more I play, the more I learn, and I tend to do better if I play back-to-back. So just playing in any tournament for me is good.
Did she enjoy playing against the top players?
I always play better against the higher ranked players. I think it's because I feel like it's always a really big opportunity, and I've always seen these players on TV, and but at the same time, I would say, like, I feel like I'm in a position now that people want to beat me too. So I just have to find a way to handle that pressure, and
When we spoke earlier in the week, you were talking about it was your first game on grass. Now here we are at the end of the week. You're still here. You were saying, I won my first match. You've carried on winning. Are you finding your game is adapting to grass as you want it to?
I think yes and no a little bit, because I still have a lot of things I feel like I should work on. But for sure, my serve is one of the biggest things. And I think grass is really suitable for it. So, yeah.
How are you looking forward to the game with Ash tomorrow?
I'm really looking forward to it. I think that whenever I practice or play with her, it's always really fun, and she has quite a different game from everyone else, and it's really fun trying to figure out what she's going to do next. So,
I mean, how does that work if you're used to sort of practicing together and things? And then you're in the match situation. Do you sort of avoid eye contact, or how does it work?
No, I mean, for me, it's nothing like that. I don't try to avoid eye contact or whatever. I wouldn't really know what to say, but there's certain players, if the umpire calls the ball out or whatever, then you're kind of questioning. But she's one of those people that I can look at her and tell, if the ball was actually in or out or something. So there's, a little sense of trust. But also, we're both really, I think, fierce competitors. So the matches are always interesting.
What a matchup. And this is what tournaments like Nottingham can provide. Opportunity to see players on the rise, to see Ash Barty and Naomi Osaka play each other, and in 12 months' time, these two players will be Grand Slam champions. Really, what a difference 12 months make. I also talked to Cam Norrie, another player who is on the rise, and still is, I hasten to add. But it's enlightening to listen back to his thoughts on what it meant to have become a professional player.
I think just the level of professionalism, just day in, day out, you can't really take days off, and it's your job now. It's and tennis is pretty brutal sport. You can't really take a day off, whereas, say if you're working at a supermarket or something, you can just tank a day and you still get paid. And whereas if tennis, you can't take days off, otherwise you're going to be, it's pretty open, you're going to get, everyone else is working harder than you, and you're going to get stung by it, and there's no hiding in the tennis world. So I think that's what I learned the most, and I think me and my coach Faku have just implemented that mindset, and I think I'm one of the tougher players out there. Yeah. I'm definitely not the most talented, but I think I'm quite tough mentally and compete quite hard, and I think that's won me a lot of matches.
We also had something in common, Gary Hayes and his dubious musical tastes.
Gary Hayes passes on his regards. I think you did a photo shoot with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Tried to get you to wear a Bruce Springsteen t-shirt.
Didn't break that.
Well refused, I might say. But I was going to ask, with tournaments like this, because it's all quite a new experience for you, what's it like coming to a tournament and coming to Nottingham?
Yeah.
And hanging out with the crowd so close and everything.
I mean, I'm pretty used to it now. I've played a lot of challenges over the last... In the last year, I played a lot. I'm pretty used to it. I mean, it feels pretty natural to me now. It's pretty interesting to see, I mean, like a big change. Being top seed here, whereas last year I was a wild card, and I think a little bit more expectations from the crowd side of things. But I mean, I think I played a great match today, and I'm happy with how everything went.
And Nottingham as a place and as a tournament, have you found it?
It's been great. I mean, the facility's great. The grass courts was great. The court today, I mean, barely any bad bounces. So, I mean, overall, very solid tournament. And great lead up for the rest of the tournaments to come.
Jo Konter was next to share her thoughts on Nottingham as a tournament.
And what do you think about Nottingham in general, the tournament? It's such a nice mix here and you're close to the fans all the time. How does that appeal to you?
I really enjoy this tournament. I mean, I've been here numerous times, even before this was a WTA event. I came here to play the Challenger. So for many, many years now I've been coming, and I like the intimacy of the tournament. I really enjoy, I really love that centre court actually. I think that's a beautiful court to play on. I really enjoy the convenience of the hotel and the city centre with the restaurants. I think it's a really easy and convenient tournament for players to come to.
Dan Evans returned to tennis that summer and I asked him about his relationship with the crowds.
I suppose the question is, how do you feel when you get the crowd like this? Because this is probably the biggest crowd you've had in the comeback for the last few weeks.
Yeah, no, I said earlier, they've been great. You know, everyone seems to be on the, not just my side, but the British players' side. And it's, you know, it's definitely the loudest crowd I've heard in Britain for a long time. So it's they've been really good.
And were you worried about how crowds would react when you came back, or did it not really?
I mean, a little. Everybody, you know, you're not human if you wasn't a bit sceptical. But, you know, like I said, they've been great. You know, I didn't cheat the game, so it sort of helped a bit. So, yeah, it's been great so far, and, you know, I appreciate it.
You seem to sort of egg each other on. The crowd seem to egg you on, and you seem to egg the crowd on. Is that something you've always been? You remind me of one of the old-fashioned types of players who are as an entertainer.
They were great. Like, you know, they've come to watch as well. You know, it's good to interact with them, I thought. So, you know, I've always liked to play in front of people, and hopefully, you know, there'll be some more days like this one and some good crowds.
Historically, Nottingham is an important part of Dan's career.
I've played so many matches here with, like, since I've been like 10, 11, like with no one watching, to on a Sunday evening, like the last one in like a regional challenge. I've played so many matches here that, you know, it's so close to home. And then to come back when, you know, like I'm what, 28 now, and playing a good tournament like this, it's only fair, I think, to give the crowd, you know, what they want. You know, I think they prefer it when you interact with them. And it's been a great week so far, and, you know, we've had great, you know, obviously the WTA takes priority here, but the men as well have had great crowds on every match I've played anyway, so, and it's been a great atmosphere for both people. Like, they were fair to Marcel today, and I thought it was a great match, and, you know, I enjoyed it.
Donna Vekic, who had won the title the previous year, also gave a glowing eulogy about the tournament.
And how do you feel about Nottingham, the actual venue, the tournament? I know you've probably got what we call a soft spot for Nottingham, having won it, but how do you like the place and the tournament?
I really, really enjoy my time here. I mean, the club is great, the people are great, the volunteers, the organisation, they really make everyone feel very welcome. And yeah, last year, for sure, I have great memories, but I think even without that, I'd be happy to come back here, because I do feel good here.
Alex Demenor certainly appreciated the Nottingham crowds.
I mean, everybody who came out here for the whole week made this tournament great. You know, the atmosphere that we played in front of, the crowds and all that, it was great throughout the whole week. So as a tennis player, that's really what you want. You want to be playing in front of a packed crowd, even though they might not all be going for you, but yeah, it was... a very good experience, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That summer, I never saw him lose in six matches, which was something we discussed in the press conference after he won the tournament.
So you do know that now that means that's six love in the times that I've now seen you. And so that's the first set complete.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Thanks, you should come watch me more times. Yeah. Do you want to come with me?
Yeah, you just tell me. Yeah,
all right.
Give the man my number and you give me a call, I'll be there for you.
Look, if we can keep it going in Wimby, then you're doing something right.
I get a chance to speak to Harriet Dart again, and I know she's a keen cook, so maybe we'll avoid chatting about too much tennis stuff, although the Clarks have given me a couple more questions for her about their Wimbledon escapades. It's going to be like a Saturday morning show. Any more requests before we get started?
Are you ready?
Yep.
Hi, Harriet.
It's a bit colder now, isn't it?
It's getting more and more autumnal by the moment. Kind of really is not.
Do you think the weather's going to improve the rest of the week?
Tomorrow it's going to be showers. Like, I'm just literally, this is hopeful, but instead of rain all day, it's got, like, spotty showers, so I don't know what they'll do in terms of, like, if they'll...
That's the hope we're living on in here, spotty showers.
It's... We've had four washouts in a row.
Yeah.
We had one in 4 years before this.
As in washout?
Washout, yeah.
Yeah. It's quite unusual.
It is. I know we always go on about English weather and things, but I cannot remember a June that's ever been like this.
Yeah, it's definitely the wettest June so far, but hopefully it will improve.
Today, what did you have for breakfast?
I had porridge and eggs, just the same as usual. That's usually just what I eat on match days.
Okay, because I've heard you're a bit of a foodie. Is this true?
Yeah, I do love my food, and I love exploring new brunch places, so that's what I like to do on my time off.
So where and what kind of cuisine is your favourite?
Ooh, that's tough. But I do love Thai food. I always tend to find one, especially in the UK, because they're all pretty good.
It's true, actually. I think it's the go-to food for me is Southeast Asian food. I travelled through Vietnam for a few months and I got completely hooked on Vietnamese food. I don't know if you're familiar with Vietnamese food at all.
Yeah, I do. Like Thai, Vietnamese, all of that kind of food I love. So, yeah, we have actually near my hometown, we have a good Vietnamese. So I enjoy going there.
Where's your hometown? London, isn't it?
Yes, West Hampstead.
Okay, it's funny because Vietnamese never used to be very popular, and now they seem to have sprung up more and more. So are you a bit of a cook and a chef as well, if you like going out for food, or is this a different side of you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely enjoy cooking. I find it quite therapeutic. And as much as I can, I try and stay in Airbnbs or somewhere where I can cook, as it gives you that freedom.
Okay, and what's your go-to dishes?
I like cooking a range of things. I've got a big sweet tooth, so I like cooking desserts, but my go-to is probably a salmon kind of base dish.
I guess as a sports person, you have to be thinking about your food all the time. Are there things that you have to take off the table? You say you've got a sweet tooth, but you can still work around that.
I think it's just important to have a thing in moderation, but... No, I love having a little treat now and again, and when you're an athlete, I feel like you can get away with it a little bit just because you're burning a lot of calories a lot of the time. So, but no, I don't think I could give any of those up.
Fair enough. I spoke to the Clarks today to say I'd had a word with you yesterday, and that we were talking about things, and they came up with a couple of questions to pass on. So this is a relay discussion. How did you and Jay become friends?
That is a good question. Just, I mean, he's a bit younger than me. And, yeah, I mean, we've been at similar tournaments and stuff like that. So that's just really how it happened.
Do you think that's it from when you were kids or a bit later on? What sort of time do you think?
I think more when we were kids, to be honest, because, I mean, even though we were growing up with in different age categories, he's only 2 years younger than me. So, and definitely when we were playing juniors and stuff, as we were growing up, we definitely got closer.
Also, I've been speaking to Anthony, the photographer here, who said he's been photographing you since you were very young, and he's been doing the same with Jay. Have you seen, do you see and look at these old photos ever and look at yourself and go, oh, okay, that's where it all started?
Yeah, it's always fun to look at old photos, especially when I'm younger. You know, I was a tomboy a long time ago. I used to wear those Nadal cut-off shirts and long shorts, and used to play with my hat backwards. So, but I'm glad I've grown out of that phase.
These are the things we do at times, strange things. And you look back sort of fondly, but also with a little bit of fear, I think. But
I guess you only live once, right? So you might as well try and experiment. I mean, I have quite long hair, and a couple of years ago I cut it for charity. They made wigs for young girls with cancer, so I donated to a really good cause, and I'm thinking of doing that again as my hair's grown a lot and it becomes a bit annoying to kind of handle, but we'll see, because every time I cut my hair and then I want it long again, and then when I don't cut it I want it short again, so it's like a big dilemma.
I've got another question from Jay. Do you remember him being completely knackered after playing doubles with Cam for 3 days and he wasn't sure if he'd be up for the games?
Yeah, because I remember him telling me that I'm going to have to carry him in the match. yeah, he had a real tough one last year during Wimby. He played 5 sets in singles, then didn't play the next day, and then he played the following day, and then they played 5 sets in men's doubles, and that went on forever. And I thought, oh my God, we're not going to get on this evening at all, he's going to be so tired. But yeah, he's a strong character, so he got through it.
And how much did you have to carry him?
50-50, I don't know. It's a team effort, so yeah.
And when you got through the semi, what was it like looking down the other end of the court and seeing Jamie and Victoria, and did you realize we're in a semi-final?
Yeah, I mean, it's always different playing a fellow Brit. I don't know Jamie so well, but I know him a little bit. So I think, yeah, I mean, he's an unbelievable champion. And yeah, they really took it to us. And but, I mean, next time we play, hopefully we'll be better.
And do occasions like that make you realise just where you can go in this sport? And does it make you want more and to get to that level consistently?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, we played our quarterfinals on centre court and we did a great job there, beating two really good players. And, you know, then we had the opportunity, semi-finals, to play on court one against Azarenka and Murray. And, you know, I think from last year, I think, you know, we've gained that experience now. And if we can keep putting ourselves in the position where we can, you know, get the opportunity to play in big occasions against big players, I think we can only get better from it.
So I guess, you know, Wimbledon will be looking forward to seeing you. And how did you react to all the press that you got and the furore that sort of happened around you too? Did it take you by surprise?
I mean, of course, it's a big tournament, so there's going to be way more press and everyone wants the Brits to do well. But, you know, I play tournaments all year round. It's not just Wimbledon, so I just take it as another tournament.
But that's the thing, isn't it? For so much of the country, it's just 2 weeks. But as I'm discovering all the time, learning about tennis, this is just a constant, endless stream of tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many tournaments in the year. So I just think in the UK, everyone just thinks about Wimbledon. But, you know, it's a year-long sport, and it'd be good if we can get more people involved in tennis and realising that. And, you know, just being able to get a lot more people involved with tennis, whether that's on different levels, that'd be great.
And as for you today, lastly, just to sum up a bit today, okay, it was a tough game. How did you feel about it? And actually, you've had quite a few injury problems, haven't you, this year? So is it just as good in a way just to be out there playing?
I mean, I've come into this tournament, you know, wanting to win, and I think that's just how you approach, well, that's how, you know, as a player, you approach every match. You want to win. You're out there, do the best that you can. And, you know, this week I've had two good matches, and unfortunately I couldn't come on top today, but the few points in it in the third set. So yeah, just looking forward to carrying that into next week.
And where are you next week?
I'm not sure if it's announced yet.
It's all right. This doesn't come out till September, so you can say it if you want. We're not going to use it, but up to you.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll steer clear of it. Oh, the excitement's too much. I can't wait to find out now. All right. Well, thank you ever so much, Harriet. I did start following you on Twitter. You haven't followed me back yet. I hope you're going to. And also, is it true you're an Arsenal fan?
Yeah, I am an Arsenal fan. Yeah, I have been pretty much all my life, so it's pretty cool.
Okay, well, I guess this will probably be the last line I say to you is, sorry, but I'm a Chelsea fan.
Oh, God, no.
See, that's how to finish an interview. Yeah, sorry about that, but I thought I should be honest.
Okay, maybe next time I won't be taking this interview now, I'm joking. It's all good, I won't hold it against you.
Thank you, and thanks ever so much, Harriet, for doing that. It's much appreciated.
You're welcome.
Dan Evans has just beaten Jack Draper over at the university, and he's one of the only players to come back from playing over there to do some press. His press conference consists of two people, one of which is me. And he's asked how it was over there.
Yeah, it was good. Great facility there. Really enjoyed it. Played good. Courts were great. So it's good to get out and get a good sweat on and get something done this week. It's been pretty boring, and yeah, I enjoyed it.
He's asked if it was tough to play Draper, who had nothing to lose.
No, I mean, he's got plenty to lose. I mean, you go to the match, you go in there thinking he can beat me, I'm sure. He played good. He's going to be a good player. Obviously he tailed off a bit, but that's just physical. I think, and mentally he's not used to that level, but you know, that's part of him learning how to become a professional, I guess. There's no doubt he's going to be a good player. So it was a tough match, and I thought he played pretty well. He's got a chance next week in qualies of Queens, I think. So it's going to be a good chance for him, and he has more tennis on a big stage again.
Has not playing on grass affected his preparations?
No, I mean, it was difficult today. It took me a little while to get used to the court. Obviously, I hadn't practiced on that court. But no, it's the same for both players and the same for everyone in the tournament. They've done it very fairly. They played 8 matches yesterday indoors, and then they played 8 today. So it's the same for everyone, and I'm just happy to get through.
How has he filled in his downtime this week?
To be fair, we've sort of been waiting as if we've gone to play, so it's not been that much free time, to be honest. So we've just been waiting around the courts.
And then it's my turn for a chat with Dan, and what is my last interview at Nottingham this week? All right, just quick mic test. What did you have for breakfast today?
Toast.
That's quite a light breakfast.
Yeah, very light.
I saw you last week at Surbiton, and I had to leave before the final.
Yeah.
That was incredible for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great week. To get the win in the final is always nice, and I'm just happy to be out of it in one piece and then come here today and get some matches. Has been good again.
I guess it's got to be hard for you, the way that you plan for grass and suddenly you're on hard courts. You had rain last week. It was interrupted all the time. How do you keep yourself motivated and keep going? Do you just keep thinking about, I'll get on court eventually?
Yeah, obviously, and I'm lucky. I got 5 matches last week on the grass, so I'm pretty happy with that, and I'm looking forward to getting out there on the grass hopefully tomorrow. I mean, the courts here are great in Nottingham, so I think be about time we got onto them, hopefully weather permitting.
And I guess you're pretty comfortable here at this tournament anyway. It's a home tournament for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, everything in England's, I feel pretty comfortable. I obviously know a few more people here, but it's a great tournament. It's so well run, and I enjoy coming back here.
You must feel for the organisers, because it is your home tournament. You must think the organisation that they have to come up with to get you over to the university and things. It's got to be hard, isn't it?
No, yeah, it's obviously disappointing for them, but they're doing the best job they can do in in the circumstance, then, you know, all the players are thankful for that. That they're, you know, everyone has the patience and driving us everywhere, and, you know, sort of fulfilling our demands, if you want to say that. But yeah, it's that everyone here has been great, and like they are each year. So we're very grateful for that.
And when you've got all this downtime, how do you relax? Do you listen to music or anything?
Not really. Just around all the guys. There's a pool table in there, and yeah, we just chill out and have a bit of fun, I guess.
I heard you were playing. Weren't you playing pool with Jack Draper earlier today?
He was playing pool. I was playing with my doubles partner. Yeah. So we all stick together when we're off court. So it's good fun.
And what do you think of the youngsters that are coming through? I'm seeing Jack Draper. Then we've got Paul Jarb, we've got Jay Clark.
Yeah, I mean, there's good talent coming through. You know, I can only really talk about Jack Draper's tennis level. I played him today. He was great. He'll be good. It's obviously going to take a lot of time. Hopefully no one rushes him, and he's got a good team behind him. There's no rush. There's no time limit to get inside the top 100. And he's going to be a good player in years to come if he stays healthy and concentrates hard and works hard. Obviously, Jay Clark is doing pretty well at the minute. And Paul Jubb, what I've seen of him, has got a great attitude, and obviously he's had some good results in college. So it's, but we still need more players coming through, and hopefully we can do that.
Well, as we talked last week about the tracking systems and trying to get people through the systems, and those three have come through three different ways. That you've got Jack with the LTA, you've got Jubb with the American College Circuit, and then you've got Jay independently. How do you look at things like that?
I wouldn't necessarily say Jay's independent. He gets funded by the LTA, a lot of money from the LTA, so it's a great job the LTA are doing. They give him a lot of funding to employ a coach, and he's on the LTA, you know, system. So I'd say Jack and Jay are pretty much in the same boat, and that seems to be working. But it's, you know, that's great for them. You know, now they've got a chance with Paul Jubb to turn him into a good tennis player, and you know, it's the guys who are there, how they get there is not the problem. It's keeping lots of players playing is a bit of an issue, where they're like 300-400. We can get them to break through, I think. And in this country, that's unfortunately doesn't happen enough.
And what do you think is the key to getting more people to break through like that?
Well, there just needs to be more tournaments in this country. In 2007, there was 22 futures and 6 challengers. That's a hell of a lot more tournaments than there is now. In 2007, there was a hell of a lot more people ranked inside that, you know, the 200s, 300s than there is now.
It's interesting because I spoke to Nick Kyrgios last week at Surbiton, and he said what he didn't understand, just isolating it a bit to grass court, was he said this is where the game originated, and there's so few tournaments, and there's not even a Masters on it.
Yeah, that's obviously true, but I mean, the grass court season is such a short season, it's pretty tough to fit in the calendar. But I guess you never know what can happen in the future, but for now it's a great season and I really enjoy it.
Well, congratulations again for today. It was very weird. It took me back to the old days of watching cricket on CFAX today, going ball by ball to see what was happening. And it must have been a bit weird for you without a crowd, but I guess, you know, you pulled through. And what are your hopes for the rest of the week?
No, like you said, it was different. It was a different day today, but it was good nonetheless. I got a win, so hopefully get a win tomorrow, and just want to get outside, really. I've been indoors way too much this week.
All right, thanks ever so much, Dan, as always.
Thanks.
And that brought my time in Nottingham to a close. I never saw a match on grass, but I still managed to have a fascinating time, and there were numerous highlights. What was the best? Well, it was probably either Jack Draper or Paul Jubb winning their first matches at this level. So yeah, both of them. I'm hoping that next week in Birmingham will bring warmer and sunnier weather. Is that too much to ask? For now, I can't wait to get home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Clear off home then! All right, I'm on my way. You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series. And when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster. And Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.